Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study here on the subject of humility. And we left off last time here where Paul speaks about humility in the book of Acts. We've seen that our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the greatest example of humility when he came as a man, putting all others first, the will of the Father first, others first. The Lord Jesus never came and did anything for himself, but always for others. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 through 21, we see there in verse 19 where he says he did the things that he did, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And that's where humility starts, is in the mind and the heart. It's an understanding of where our place is before God and the will of God, not self being the driving force and the way of self and the way of the world, but the way of the Lord. And it's good for us in this time to take a look at this consideration of humility, because we all need it. We need to be humble individually, as our families and our communities, as a state, as a nation. We need humility. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, as we will see in this study. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 23, the Apostle Paul speaks of false humility, and sad to say, that is the case generally with mankind. Our nature is to a false humility. This speaks of religionists, those that would look to religion, the works of their hands, the things that have been invented by men, rather than the way of God. As the Lord Jesus chided the leadership in his day, he said, and rebuked them. It was more than chiding, he rebuked them severely. You teach the precept of men and the way of men for the command of God, for the word of God, the commands of men for the word of God. That's the phraseology. You teach the commands of men for the word of God, and that making the command of God, the word of God, setting it at naught. And so false humility, we need to know that we're subject to it. We need to avoid it and understand humility indeed for what it is. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you or trick you of your reward. And the children of God have a reward. And so this is speaking directly to the children of God, those who are saved. Let no man beguile you or trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, a neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And so here, the Apostle Paul speaks against those who would pursue religion and self-will rather than humility. There's a feigned humility. It's a false humility. He says, don't be tricked by these that would present this to you, worshiping of angels. See, they have religion. They're intruding into those things which they have not seen. There's no experience that they have with the Lord, no salvation, no right teaching, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. He said that's the motivator for those that have this voluntary humility. It's a facade. It's just a skin that is on them of religiosity and not holding the head. Here's the key of their problem: not holding the head. And in our King James translation, that word head is a name. It's a capital H that is there. Not holding the head. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. It's a reference to him being the head of the body. Reference that he gives us about the Lord's church, the Lord's kind of church, is that members in particular knit together, and he is the leader. He is the head of the body. Not holding the head, speaking of Christ, which from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. And so Jesus is the leader, and the way that he has knit the church together, he nourishes such and he increases such by God's increase. And you know what? The humble will realize that and know that. But these that are up to trickery, these that are looking to rob a reward by this facade humility, they are religious. They turn to other things and the other than our Lord. They seem very near to what is right, but they're just off skew a few degrees. They intrude in those things they've not seen. They're puffed up by their fleshly mind, because that's what they're following, is the flesh. He said, look out for that. Beware of that. Have no part with that. He says, unto them and to us, that being the case, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? And then he has this side thought about these ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using. And I think what he is referring to here is the religiosity of the Judaizers, okay? The churches in Galatia were subject to that, another gospel. They wanted to add something to Christ. They wanted to bring in things of the ceremonial and sacrificial law back in. Now we see it in our day, those that would be professing saved and Baptist, they want to go into Messianic Judaism and such as that. You know, we've been saved. We're not Jews. Typically, we're not Jews. And the law, ceremonial, sacrificial, it was for the nation of Israel, and it was given unto them, not for an answer to the saving of the soul, but to point and show what Christ would do in all respects. And so he says here, why do you want to be subject to these things, these commands of men that they have? He says, after the commandments and doctrines of men, ? So why do you want to be subject to that? He said, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and in humility and neglecting of the body. There's a humble facade in that, but it's not, they're not holding the head. They don't have respect unto Christ. There's not submission unto Christ. Yes, there's will worship. They keep themselves under control. They have this humble looking and facade that they have. They neglect the body. There's no satisfying of the flesh. I mean, there are those that flagellate themselves. They beat themselves on the back with scourges and with chains and that. But is that what the Lord has given us to do? They appear. It'll be seen this time of the year. They'll appear to be very religious. We even have themselves fastened and fixated to crosses. But is that what we've been commanded of the Lord to do? No, that's the doctrine and the way of man. What we have been commanded to do is to hold the Lord Jesus in esteem where he is. And in that, be humble unto him and what he has instructed us in the Word of God, for our individual living as His children and for our living and operating in His churches. And so there's a false humility. Look out for it. Religiosity is the death, the eternal death of many, and we need to be on the watch out for that and not be a part of that. In 1 Peter 5:5, we see here that humility is to be the covering of a child of God's life. A covering, a clothing, it needs to be. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. And here's something that we have not seen today. We saw it some over there in the Old Testament a couple broadcasts ago, but here in the New Testament, it's reiterated, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The pride of man, pride of communities, families, pride of nations, God resisteth that. He resisteth that. And we need to glorify God as a nation. That's a need that we have as a nation. We have gone our own way. We have gone our own way in this scourge of abortion, the killing of innocents. That's a proudful thing that we do, saying that we are the holders of life and that we can put a child to death when it's inconvenient, allowing a pursuing after promiscuity where the Lord says that the Lord will judge the whoremonger. Marriage is honorable and honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, it tells us in Hebrews, but whoremongers God will judge. And so it's a proudful thing. We go on our own way. We deny the word of the Lord against us. We deny the word of the Lord, and we bring the Lord against us because of our lack of humility. A proud way. In this search for help in this time of this coronavirus, we need not be proud. We need to appeal to our Lord for help. And may the people of God do so. We claim to have a relationship with our Lord, and it being His child, may we pray unto the Lord for the help. God resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud individual. He resisteth the proud family. He resisteth the proud community. He resisteth the proud state and the proud nation. But you know what? He giveth grace to the humble. Graciousness of the Lord and His help and His aid and His healing and His salvation. He giveth that to the humble, to those that look to Him, to those that are subject to Him, to those that rest in Him and trust in Him and rely upon Him. The Lord giveth grace to the humble, and we need to be a humble people indeed. If you're under the hearing of my voice in this broadcast and you don't know the forgiveness of sins by the salvation that is brought alone by the Lord Jesus Christ, no other God, no man can bring a sinner from death unto life other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior of sinners that come to Him in repentance and faith. We point you to Him. Repent of your sins before God. You're guilty. You sinned against Him. You don't know all of how you've sinned against Him. You can't list it all out. But what you need to do, as the Lord says in His Word, is repent before Him, unto Him, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul. To believe that Jesus did that in your stead. Not in our stead, but in your stead. You personally, your sins, for your soul. He is the Savior indeed that you need, and we point you to Him. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.